Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast right here at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. I am your host, Dustin Kaufman. Please subscribe right here. Just subscribe. Click the subscribe button. Do it. It's the only thing you need to do today right now in this moment is subscribe to the Comedy Club here on YouTube and or wherever you're listening. All right. I'm here with J. Chris Newberg. Hi. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
I was looking at your sweatshirt and you have the Muppets. And I was thinking, don't you think it's time? They gave back Manhattan.
They never took it.
They never gave it back.
Hey guys, we're gonna need that back. You know what? They dropped it. They left it in space.
It means a lot to people of New York that they get Manhattan back.
I named my dog Henson.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he does look like a Jim Henson like creation.
That's cool.
Just a little mini golden doodle, Shaggy, and just the big. Schnauz, you know, whatever.
What's your energy right now, Dustin? What's going on? What's happening? Come on.
I am like a little uncentered. I'm really angry. It takes a lot to like get me angry, but like, and I don't probably, let me offer a business. If you ever open a business, you're probably, so I don't recommend like talking shit on customers, like on like social media, right? It's probably not the best way to like keep your ratings and, you know, customer retention and stuff. But man, this fucking table tonight just has me steaming.
Why?
It was like a group of 11 and they just out of the gate would not stop talking.
Right.
And immediately, there's zero table talk during the show. And they're like, oh, and then this start, and then this time, and they were just talking across. And we asked them so many times to stop. Customers start complaining. Then we just said, hey, you guys have to leave. And they refused to leave. Like, I'm sorry. And so they came and got me. I was watching WWE Saturday Night Main Event up here just trying to like catch the John Cena match, you know what I mean? And they're like, Dustin, these people are literally refusing to, and I go down and I talk to him and he's like, I paid a lot of money to be here. I'm like, you paid for admission to come watch a show attended by 200 other people and you're sitting in the middle of them like ruining the show for all the, and they just refuse to fuck,
take a breath. Take a breath, buddy.
Like, you don't have the right to refuse to leave a public establishment, first of all.
Right.
And the entitlement, it's getting worse. We had some whacked out a couple weeks ago, just out of his mind. He was on something, just wanted to fight the whole house on the way out of the fucking place. Was chasing his wife across the Ugly Joe's parking lot. It was a mess, dude.
Like, okay.
It's been getting, I don't understand why it's getting worse. It's been a lot, but these guys just had me stewed. Like, dude,
Did they keep talking the whole set?
They just still would not
speak. I didn't even hear them.
Well, they were in the back half.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of all these, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
We take that seriously. We try to keep it a friendly, like comic friendly, show friendly. We're here. There are other clubs that if you want to go talk the entire time, I promise nobody will tell you to stop talking.
They're called nightclubs.
I know comedy clubs like that, but we are not that comedy club. I take the show seriously. It's people have paid good money to come watch a show. The comics have come a long way to put on a show, and it's not up to this one table or group or person to ruin that for everybody else, man. You are a spectator at a show. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
You know.
It's like you don't expect me to come to your job at Wiener World.
And knock the goddamn dicks out of your mouth.
Yeah, I can see that would be frustrating. I mean, mostly probably, do you think that you're more hypersensitive towards it because you're an entertainer as well?
No, I've had to manage, and I understand people will try to talk the way, but like, it's so, refusing to leave is like the most confrontational thing. Because you're putting me in a really shitty position.
Couldn't you have called the police?
Yeah, but then you're going to have the cops walking through the showroom. That's worse.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's like, dude, like me, my general manager, my assistant manager, would just fucking drunk babysit this entire table the entire show. Mm-hmm. And it's bullshit, dude. You guys are fucking adults. Act like it. You're in public. Act like you've been here before.
Right.
A little bit.
I hear you. No, I was just like, when we sat down.
I just need to get, thank you for letting me vent.
Yeah,
like, I did. I walked, I'm like, I'm so, I, and it's me. So I'm like, I'm so angry.
You feel better now.
I'm getting it out.
That's good. You feel better.
Yeah. Oh, look, Dustin's angry.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm glad. I mean, it's like you take your business very seriously. You're doing a good thing for the comic to try to keep the audience controlled.
Yeah.
You're right. Some people are very entitled. Some people just don't give a fuck.
They don't care.
And when they don't, it's like they don't hide the fact that they don't. And it's just, it's not ideal. But I mean, I don't know. I blame all the heckling on crowd work tapes.
Social media and stuff like that.
Social media crowd work tapes and reality television judges, because it gives everyone an opportunity to say what they think about someone else's hard work.
Like, this isn't a competition. The feedback you can offer is laughter or nothing.
You're right? 1,000% correct, but the way people have been trained during the pandemic and
this isn't even that. This was just, hey, we're just going to talk to each other the entire time.
Well, there was a table last night that wouldn't shut up, and they told one of your people to fuck off and whatever.
I had to tell them to go. Dude, that's what I'm saying. I forgot about them.
It's probably
like, you can't tell him, my guys, to fuck it. You got to go, dude.
The common denominator in this whole problem is me.
No, because there was a week or two ago, it was like he just wanted to fight everyone. I mean, it's more often this aggression and it seems stronger.
Have you ever been to a comedy show where you want to fight people?
No.
I don't get it either. I don't either. I don't have any interest in fighting people.
Like, but it does seem like not audiences as a whole, but there are, I would say, I mean, there's definitely a person in the audience more often who wants to take it there.
So you're not as much as you enjoy wrestling, you're not a confrontational person. You have no interest in physical violence ever.
If I can avoid it.
Sure. Have you ever been in a couple of scrums before?
Yeah. Look, we get people out.
Right.
Right. Like, sure. This guy was massive. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Which is irrelevant because it's just like a business. I've kicked tall people out. I've argued with tall people. I don't care about, you know what I mean?
I understand.
Right. Like I'm not going to back down to that, but it's like, yeah, it shouldn't, it's just a comedy show and it's like the public and there's a lot of people and people are drinking and suddenly like we're in these like way more often. I mean, dude, maybe once or twice a year. I don't know, like I've ever had somebody just try to fight. You know, because it's like, and this guy blamed his girlfriend. He tried to put his mouth over her face to like she was the problem when we were telling him to stop talking. And I'm like, dude, first off, get your hand off of her and get out of the showroom.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's happening. Yeah. Like, what? It's really wild.
So
I feel like maybe we have to beef up security or something.
Yes, probably. That's probably a good idea to get somebody who's larger and more intimidating.
Consistent.
Yeah, I think maybe it's something to look into.
We've always had somebody here in place, though, but it has just gotten.
But thanks for choosing this weekend to not have someone, buddy. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. I feel very safe. I do. I was thinking yesterday after the show, Sarah and Shane and I went across the street to Date Rapers or whatever that place is called.
Ugly Joe's, yeah.
And we get over there and
I've had servers roofied at that bar.
I believe it. It's like you get there and you're like, how many piercings are in everyone's face? It's a lot. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's fine. Sarah was like, let's hit the punching bag. I'm like, why would I? Okay. And I don't punch people. So I hit the punching bag and I think it just started laughing or whatever it was. And it was a low score. But based on
it goes up to 90. Is that 900?
I mean, whatever it goes up to, I didn't get there.
What was your number?
400 something.
Okay, you're like almost like 40, like 45%.
If I hit someone with all of my power, they're going to acknowledge that I did that.
Yeah.
And then they're going to hit me back. And it's not going to work out.
And then they're going to hit me back.
It's not going to work out. So, but it's, but I think that based on your frustration and your animation towards the situation, it inspired me to think, when in life do I get angry and when do I really get frustrated? And there's only one time in one specific situation in my life. So we live in Los Angeles right off Sunset. There's a very, and we live on this street, and there's a very popular car wash that is right on the corner of our street. So sometimes you can't turn in because there's a line, whatever. And so sometimes you have to go around the line into oncoming traffic into the other lane to maneuver past this. And then sometimes people in the car wash will come out the entrance and try to turn left, and you'll be at a stalemate. That is the only time in my life where I just, like, I put my car in park and I'm like, I'm not moving. I know I'm in the wrong lane, but I'm not going anywhere. In that moment, I am mighty. I am just, I'm a Viking, and I'm just like, fuck off. I am not moving. This is on you. You've ruined my street. And it's not even my street. Like, I don't own the street. And it's like, I get this, this company's trying to do well, but I get that, like, blind, what are you, entitlement from these fucking car wash fucks, which is my comedy club situation. And because of that, I'm just, it just, it's maddening, you know?
And usually I'm really chill.
So chill.
So chill. But man, these guys, you know, we start off like this with all this hate, but there's so much love at this table.
None of this is hate. No one thinks this is hate. You're just venting.
For the people watching, I've known Chris for so many years.
20 at least.
I sincerely consider you a friend.
Would hope so.
I love you to pieces.
Thank you. I love you too.
I congratulate you when Detroit teams do well.
It's true.
And I'm really happy to have you here today.
I'm happy to be here. This is my favorite club to play whenever someone cancels and then you call me. Of all of the years we've played here, it's
but how many times does that happen?
It's so many. The only time I've ever played here is when someone is canceled.
That's not true.
One time after COVID when there was 9 seats in here.
I can't.
I'm not mad about it. All 9 of we sold that night out. Hell yeah. I sold out shit in COVID. That was fucking great.
We sold out a lot in COVID.
Yeah, how can you not?
There wasn't a lot else to do.
No.
We were at half capacity.
But every time I come here, the crowd consistently gets bigger. The people are nicer. It's like your club's doing great. This is a success story. Not after the people in the city see this video of you trashing them.
Those 11 people.
All 11 people will be pissed.
Dude, they were so loud and didn't give a fuck.
But there's always like...
I know. I asked these guys, I said, hey, I need you guys to please stop talking. And he looked at me, so sincere, and he just says, I'm trying to have a conversation with my nephew and you're ruining my night. Like, in the middle of a comedy show, man.
You know, it's whenever you question whether or not idiots exist and thrive in this world, just go through airport security. Oh my God. You've never seen a larger collection of people who you're surprised have gotten this far. and it's the same thing with comedy club audiences, because some of those people go to the airport and, you know, and it's just like they think, and it's you just, and I'm not, listen, everybody's a moron in some category. There's people will be like, oh, Dustin, can you believe he does this? Or Chris, he does this. And they're right in their situations. But collectively, most people know how to behave in public.
Most.
But so many people just don't get publicing. They don't understand it. They just don't know. They don't know how to people. They don't know how to public.
And they don't want to be told anything.
No.
That's where, like, when you have to tell an adult to stop talking or anything, it is like talking to my children for me. It is, they turn into excuses and lies and try to redirect the attention to another. And it is just stop talking.
Well, you mentioned social media earlier. Social media trains us and like convinces us that everything that we're doing is correct, because the algorithm is consistent to what it is we want and what it is we think and how it is we function. So those people who are like, I'm having a conversation with my nephew in public, they're filtered in constantly information that supports that. And then when they go in public with other people who have got different information, and all of a sudden there's this mosh pit of difference.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm not wrong. You're wrong.
This actually isn't a debate, man. Yeah. You just stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm not here to converse about it.
Do you remember what Stanford's Wednesday, it was like Wednesday through Sunday you played there.
Oh yeah.
And Wednesday.
Nobody. Does anybody still do Wednesday? I don't, not with the same outside of Vegas, which is like Monday through Sunday.
Monday through Sunday, it's horrible.
Yeah.
But no, they did Wednesday through Sunday, and on Wednesday it was bottomless beer cup night. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Holy, that was the worst experience of my life.
It was like dollar beer or something.
And it was nonstop fucking idiots.
Like they were small little 3 6-ounce cups.
And you'd see the waitstaff walking just through with
trays. They were Miller Lite night. Yeah. It was Miller Lite night.
It was bananas.
Terrible. The worst crowd ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just like, and Craig wouldn't kick anybody out.
Nobody.
And it was just, it was terrible.
They wouldn't tell people. But they also had no tables. There was no aisles. Like, it was like in a situation like that, it's probably hard to get to the middle of the, but yes, they did nothing.
That was way worse, dude. That was way worse than Uncle Jeff talking to his nephew.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't give.
But that's not even what tonight, but yes, there's a lot of Uncle Jeffs. But we have done a good job for the most part. I think training our audience to be good comedy audience members. You know, we have smart comedy fans here. They appreciate good comedy. I've tried to bring in like, and I'm not talking. I've tried to bring in like comedy magicians and stuff like once. And dude, my audience let me know that is not what they are interested in.
I used to want to be a juggler, but I didn't have the balls.
Yeah.
That's right. That joke landed. Not as hard as the Muppets. I mean, but here's another thing. On the same vein of the Muppets returning Manhattan, at this point in life, don't you think that the dragon should be trained? Like, this is like the 9th How to Train Your Dragon. No one. Why isn't the dragon trained already?
Are they still putting out sequels to that?
It's not even a sequel. They just keep remaking the same movie.
Oh, my God.
It's like How to Train Your Dragon. I saw the first set. I know.
You taught me this.
I know how to train the dragon.
How about what to do after potty draining with your dragon?
Well, yeah. How about do the dragons train now? Now it's just maybe the dragon gets back Manhattan.
How to teach a pre-teenage dragon respect.
That's a sequel? That's a $1 million idea right there. $1 million idea. How to teach your dragon respect.
How to train your dragon to interact in the real world and not be a complete failure.
That would be amazing.
Right?
But that's like somebody, like the person that you talked to tonight, that's like somebody's dad.
Oh, yeah.
And he like, and you know, he goes home and he's like, I'm such a good parent. And the kid's like, I can't wait till he goes to the comedy club so I can fuck in his bed. You know that's what he's doing. You know that's what he's doing. Wow, he didn't like, and there's got to be some sort of issue.
Did you ever in your parents' bed?
Well, I mean, I was raised by two single women, so I never really. I don't think so. I never really had. And it's not the same conquering force to be like, I did it in my grandma's bed. Like, that's like, it was so good. She wrote me a $5 check.
Did you ever one time, just as a joke, go, you want to go fucking my grandma's?
No, but you know what's really funny? What's really, really funny is there was an old joke that I used to tell is when I would talk, whenever I do crowd work, I bet I do it in the show. I'll just do it because I just thought of it. It's like, do you ever get to, I'm like talking to the people in the crowd. I'm like, are your kids in college? Like, yeah. And I go, how cool would it be when your kids are in college, you go in their room and you fuck in their room. And then you send them a picture to their school and be like, 1-to-1, motherfucker. Or something like that. I remember what it was.
What kind of bed did your grandma have? My grandma and grandpa were together. They had a king made up of two singles pushed together, which is like an old school. And then after he passed, they were just two singles split in the, at the different apartment.
My grandmother, I think she had a queen bed. You know, it was pretty fitting. It was a grandma bed.
Yeah.
She had the master bedroom, and it's pretty uninteresting. Like there's not one part of me, like looking back, even like when I was 18 and getting boners every 5 seconds, not one part of me was like, you know what I really want to do? grandma's room. Like, that just does, it takes away the boner.
Right.
It really does.
Like, so yeah, I guess if you were staying at my grandma's, you'd be sleeping on the other twin bed or the couch.
Yeah.
I was definitely more of a couch. I'm like, I'm going to sleep on the couch.
And my mom was like
and then when she'd wake up, I'd sleep.
My mom was like a sex worker. So like, I never wanted to sleep in her bed.
Is that true?
Yeah. I'm not, it's like, it's not a big deal. It's not right. A surprise. It's like,
know, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom was sort of like a high priced.
Did I not know that?
I mean, you might have.
I've never heard you say my mom was a high priced hooker.
There's no real way to bring it up on stage without sounding like you're disrespecting your mother.
That's fair.
You can't really like, no.
I mean, I've told you everything about my kids and now that.
And I took it to the grave. I wouldn't.
Oh, hey, that. While your kids are over there, did you know my mom sucked dick? Like, yeah. I get it. It's not even fitting. So that,
no, but I'm just saying, it's like, I can say, so like, a woman on stage, a female comedian can be like, my mom's a cunt, I hate her. And people are like, yeah, she is, that's right. But a guy is like, hey, you know what? My mom was a cunt. Everyone would be like, boo.
Don't talk about your mom like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't matter. So it's not really.
So you, yeah, you wouldn't want to sleep in
my
bed.
I wouldn't want to sleep in my mom's bed because I wouldn't want to get itchy. You know, I just say, it's not a thing. Not a thing.
So did you live with your mom and your grandma?
Mm-hmm.
That's who you lived with.
Yeah.
And was your mom turning tricks at your grandma's house?
On occasion when my grandma was out of town. I was raised by my grandfather, was this, like I said, I say my act now, I talk about him. He was like this 6'7" World War II vet who liked to get drunk and dress up like a woman. And it was the first time I saw it, I was like, what do I do with this? Because I was like, it's like a baptism into like, there's a lot of weird lives and people do different things and you got to deal with it. And there's nothing wrong with it, I guess. Those are people's choice. Those are his choices.
Right.
But when you're 6 and 7 years old, you see your grandfather, and he's like in fucking 14 size 14 stilettos in a miniskirt, passed out on the floor from being drunk with lipstick all over his face. You're like, yeah, I can't have any friends over today.
You know, not a good day, Jimmy.
No, yes, I got to sleep over.
We'll have
place.
To hit that Atari tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. And. And yeah, my mom was pretty active in making money with older dudes. And my grandmother was just like this. She worked in the court system. She was a rock. She was awesome. So it was like basically my grandma. My mom wasn't, and my dad split. He lived in Nevada.
So my grandma had a bunch of clip-on jewelry and stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And my brother and I, when we were younger, we'd put on our clip-on jewelry and pretend we were Mr. T and all this stuff like that.
That's a different way to go.
Yeah.
That's a different way to go.
Your grandpa went a whole nother
route. He went a totally different route.
Never wore shoes.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I used to jokingly say, my mom went to go see the movie Pretty Woman because she liked Disney movies, but then she kind of went a different route.
Yeah.
She went a different route. She went a different way.
No, I never knew that. So yeah. Wait, what was sleeping in your parent?
We were talking about sleeping in the parents' bed, just getting even with them. I don't know. That was because the guy who refused to leave.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, his kids fucking in his. But yeah, yeah. I hope he. I'm sorry. I don't talk like that. This is a little.
Today's your day.
Dirtier.
It's your day.
I apologize, Mark. Can you please beep some of this a little through, maybe the. I beep that too. And if we're going to beep stuff, just be cock entitled who I hope they like get drunk and only with each other, but then come back and see us again. And this time shut the.
You're listening to the Comedy Club Podcast After Dark.
Yeah. You know what? Shout out to Mark Thornton, who took over all the post editing and has been cutting reels and everything like that. Just, it's for those of you who have watched from the beginning, the change about 10 weeks ago is I notice it and I love it, and he's a great. Please beep all those.
I watched the Mike Kaplan episode. That kid is so funny.
He's so funny.
So funny.
Yeah. Did you watch the 30-minute or the 90-minute?
I watched the 30-minute.
Okay.
Yeah. But just in general, he is a prolific. That kid, I think I can write. That kid can write. He can write.
Dude, he talks about this the first time he did. He came back. He opened for somebody. I'm not going to throw. They didn't want to do the pod, so we just had Mike come back up. And it was awesome. Great to have him again. But the first time, the podcasts were closer to like 50 minutes to an hour. And we went for like an hour and 20 minutes. Mike can just go forever, yeah, you know.
He's funny, dude.
But he writes multiple acts. He's working multiple acts at the same time. And then he'll, one night it'll be this, and next it'll be family, and this it'll be literature, and it's just acts. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, he can write. Like, there's, you can tell.
You can also, you're a writer.
I can write.
Shoot some love to you with the love gun.
Thank you.
You are a phenomenal writer,
Thank
dude.
Thank you, brother.
For the amount of comics you have written for, the shows you've written for, it's awesome. When you got into stand-up, we only have a couple minutes left, but when you got into stand-up, was writing,
mm-hmm.
Were you like, was that something you wanted to do out of the gate, or just... You were funny enough to be able to figure out how to do that as well.
It was growing pains, absolutely, you know. And it's my short game has always been good. I've always known I could make money off being funny. And then I started just like really practicing and working the writing muscle. And I would just write and write and write and write and write. And that's how you get better. And I would just I remember before. It's so funny because I remember thinking I'm going to write a joke every single hour on Facebook until I get noticed by a TV show that's going to see my stuff and see how frequent I write and whatever. And that's how I got my first gig. And it was 3 years later, but I literally every day, for 9-10 hours in a row, I'd write a new, to the point where I'm sure so many people muted me.
So important.
It's so important. Yeah. And now I can spot write. I don't do it as often, but
dude, I remember when I was in LA, you would just show up at these bar mics or showcases, whatever, and just a notebook of brand new stuff all the time. And you're just punch. Like, it shows that that's what it takes, that much dedication and that much consistency to learn how to, and to become that good at it.
Thank you. That's kind of the curveball. It's like, I always thought that I was going to be big, around the time I was 58, 59, Dangerfield age. And I feel like I'm in that tractor beam of I wouldn't be surprised if I finally hit it big in 2 years after I've been doing this since I've been fucking 20.
And you'd be an overnight sensation.
Yeah, overnight, exactly.
Well, buddy, I know we're going to get this show started here in a minute. I'm so, you got done writing for Hollywood Squares. I'm not going to bring up, but I know you got some stuff working. I hope we get to talk about it next time.
I hope you get to book me on a show where no one's canceled. And I have to, just people who came to the 11 top, I want to apologize straight up for Dustin's attitude. You should have stayed. He should have left. He should have won. And the person who was having a conversation with your nephew, I hope that you really had a great conversation because your nephew really wanted to listen to you talk during a show. You old.
Subscribe. I'm Dustin Coffin for J. Chris Newberg. We'll see you next week. Bye.